Reading with your kids.
Hola, ni hao, konnichiwa, assalamu alaikum, shalom, mahaba, ciao, bonjour, namaste, jumbo. Bienvenidos. Hey, my name is Jed Lee. Welcome to Reading with Your Kids. We're coming to you from the book-loving neighborhood of Reedville, the loveliest neighborhood in all of Boston. We are so very honored and absolutely delighted that you're joining us in our mission to help all families grow closer through reading. We do that by sharing fun, thoughtful, and thought-provoking conversations with fascinating people who just happen to be writing books for kids of all ages. You can join us in our mission by telling all of your family and friends about the show and letting them know that they can hear us on the WREB AM-FM 24/7 radio network, and they can find us on the iHeartRadio app, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, Amazon Music, Podcast Addict, Audible, CastBox, Player FM, YouTube. Wherever you find your favorite shows, you can find Reading with Your Kids. Two wonderful guests coming up today. Lisa Jakarski is returning to the show to celebrate happy thoughts going to the beach. And later in the show, Deborah Marcero will be here to celebrate the great escape. Hey, this episode of Reading with Your Kids is brought to you by AspireDrinks.com. Hey, I have a quick question for you. Have you ever wanted a little extra energy, but not the kind that makes your heart race or leaves you crashing an hour later? Well, that's exactly why I want to tell you about Aspire Drinks. You'll find them at AspireDrinks.com. Aspire calls itself a healthy energy drink, and honestly, that description really fits. Instead of loading you up with sugar or extreme caffeine, Aspire delivers a gentle, steady boost with 80 milligrams of natural caffeine from green tea and guarana. That's about half the caffeine of most energy drinks, enough to help you stay focused without the jitters or the crash. It's also zero sugar, zero calories, and zero artificial additives, which makes it a great choice for parents, teachers, and anyone trying to make healthier choices while still getting things done. And get this, it actually tastes great. Light, crisp, and lightly sparkling with flavors like sweet cherry, raspberry acai, mango lemonade. That's what I love. No heavy aftertaste and easy on the stomach. Aspire is packed with B and C vitamins, biotin, and ginger. And it's vegan, gluten-free, keto-friendly, really designed for real life. And just for Reading with Your Kids listeners, you can get an exclusive discount of 20% off. That's the highest discount available when you shop at AspireDrinks.com and use our promo code READ. That's READ at AspireDrinks.com. Healthy energy done right. This episode of Reading with Your Kids is sponsored by Ramble Office. You know, before I tell you about Ramble Office, let me tell you about what travel used to look like for me. When I take the Reading with Your Kids studio on the road, it was like a lot. I had one box for the mixer, another case for microphones, a satchel for my laptop, cables everywhere. And I always felt like I was forgetting something. That's why Ramble Office really clicked with me. Ramble takes everything I used to juggle, tech gear, personal stuff, and puts it into one smart, great-looking unit that's designed to be a mobile office, not just luggage. Everything has a place. Everything stays protected. And when you get to where you're going, you're ready to work. Instead of digging through bags or repacking your life every time you move, Ramble keeps your setup organized and ready to deploy. Travel days stop being chaos and start being productive. It's sleek, modern, built for people whose work doesn't stop just because they're on the move. And if your job follows you, whether that's podcasting, teaching, consulting, or creating, Ramble is worth a look. Go to RambleOfficeAnywhere.com, all one word, RambleOfficeAnywhere.com. Use the promo code READ, R-E-A-D, and receive 5% off any product. It's exclusive for Reading with Your Kids listeners. Check it out today, RambleOfficeAnywhere.com, promo code READ. I'm very excited. Our guest is returning to Reading with Your Kids to celebrate her new picture book, Name of the book is Happy Thoughts, Going to the Beach. Please welcome back to the show, Lisa Jakovsky. Lisa, how's it going?
It's great. I'm so glad to be back, Jed Lee. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm delighted to have you back. Lisa is one of the few people that I've actually met in real life. We first met, was it down in New Jersey at the Indie Authors book event?
That was the second time. So I met you, I think it was in March when Tom was there as well. It was the PTO conference.
The PTO conference, yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, then, yep. You know, this has been such a joy. You know, we've put out over 2,300 episodes. Some of them have been best of, so we haven't had 2,300 guests on, but probably close to 1,500 guests on. And but I've met a bunch, much more now than when we first started, and it's a lot of fun because one of the neat things about the podcast is I've made great friendships with authors over the years, and I include you in that group. I love the work that you do. I especially love that you're such an advocate for kids who are different.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's we're continuing that with Happy Thoughts Going to the Beach.
Yes, we are, because, you know, my books are all different cultures with the characters too. But the really cool thing about this series is the main character with autism, who's actually nonverbal, she narrates. So that's the cool thing about this series.
That is, let's talk about nonverbal kids. Because that's, I have a story that I may or may not share with you today. We'll see if it fits in. But I guess the best way to start is nonverbal kids are really misunderstood.
Very, very much so. And it's interesting because when I say nonverbal, I mean kids that physically cannot talk with their mouths. Some people call children that have limited, what I call limited capabilities, and can say, you know, maybe one or two word phrases, they call them nonverbal as well. But in my personal and professional opinion, they're limited verbals. You know, so when I say nonverbal for this character, she really cannot speak with a verbal voice. But it's amazing because it shows there's all these other ways to communicate. We don't need a verbal voice to be able to do that.
Yeah. I learned that lesson. I don't know if I told you this in our past meetings, Lisa. I worked in a school for kids with severe developmental disabilities before I started doing my educational magic show. And my job was to get the kids out into the community. So it was part PR, part clowning, part adapted phys ed, just about everything. And one of the kids who was my partner, she was my partner, an ambassador going out and would help me open these doors, was a young girl with Rett syndrome. And at the time, it was believed that kids with Rett syndrome maybe could make it to 18, maybe. And Jennifer, well, back then, my Boston accent was much more prevalent. Jennifer and I would go out and would open up doors. She was a beautiful kid, and she was also nonverbal. But we communicated very, very well. It communicated through eye contact, through gestures and whatnot. And I knew what was and the kids that met her, too, very quickly were able to pick up on, you know, what she was trying to tell us.
And that's the amazing part, is we need to encourage kids to do that. And that's one of the things that I've noticed in the district I'm interning in, is the children are so accepting. It's so beautiful to see that whether they're nonverbal, limited, you know, they have behaviors or they don't, they ask for the children who are autistic. Because the way the school district works is they have them in gen ed and then pull out for resource room for special ed. And the kids in the gen ed class ask where these children are because they want them to come in and play with them, you know? And that's why I started with children's books too, because if we can teach them at a young age, they grow up to be these adults that are more accepting, more understanding. And then we should have less bullying. We should have a lot less of the difficulties that we're having, you know? So it takes a lot of patience, But it's so amazing to hear you say that, because you show that it's something that's real. We really don't need to speak verbally in order to communicate. You're a living proof example of that.
Oh, no. Jennifer was responsible for me meeting my beautiful wife.
Oh, my God. That's incredible. That's even better.
We would go in. So the major part of our integration program was bringing my kids. I had this idea. My kids loved being read to. They loved having people read stories to them. And I knew that the public school around the corner from the hospital where our school was, that they had kids who needed help reading.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, how about this? We go over there, give the kids who are struggling with reading, give them a chance to read to our kids. Our kids are going to love it. The kids who are struggling with reading, they're all of a sudden they're going to get this confidence like, oh, I can read. And it was a win-win. And so we're going over, and Jennifer would go over, I think, twice a week, and other kids in our school. We were going through, and I saw this teacher in the hallway, and we're walking to class, and Jen walked very slowly. And I remember saying, wow, she's really pretty, man. I want to ask her out. And Jen, you know, she had this, she would clap her kind of hands like this. She just kind of giggled like, you don't have the guts to go up and talk to her. What are you talking about? And about a week or two later, we're down, and I always try to be as let my kids be as independent as they could.
Love it.
So I would be, I was talking to some other kids at the school. And Jen was near me, but then she walked away. And I stood up. I looked. Where is she? She's over talking to the pretty teacher. And I go over, and I said, oh, hi, this is Jennifer. And then she said, well, what's your name? And I said, I'm Jeffy. And I asked her out, and then we got married. And Jennifer was our flower girl.
Because she knew. She understood what you said.
Oh. She understood, and she also understood I wasn't going to go there without.
Exactly. She knew she had to do something. Kids are so, so much more perceptive than we think they are. And especially when they have autism, you know, because they have processing difficulties, but they understand so much more than we think. And I love she was your flower girl. How cute is that?
It was. It was really, really cute. We ended up getting married at the Cathedral of the Holy Cross because it was right across the street from the church where we had met. And it was beautiful. It was very nice. There were a lot of strings to be pulled to get the wedding there, but I didn't realize it at the time. The walking down the aisle, that was really long for Jennifer. but she did.
Yeah,
she was
me.
Great. It was just wonderful. She was wonderful. And I have to say, you know, like I said, they thought at the time when Jennifer was 10, they thought maybe she'll live to 18.
Aww.
She lived to 44. We went to her funeral just about a year ago. She lived a wonderful life. Her family was so wonderful. At her funeral, her brother joked that who would have known that Rome, a city built how many hundreds of years ago, was not very handicap accessible. But
oh,
they loved
God.
Her. She had a wonderful life, and I was so enriched getting to know her and all the kids at the what was known as the Isaac School.
And see, that's exactly the examples we need to talk more about. I love that you're showing how much these individuals can do, and her family shows how much support, just advocating, getting the resources can really make a difference. Yeah. She lived 30 years longer than she was supposed to. That is just wild.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that is so incredible. And she touched so many lives because of it. And that's what we need more of in this world. You know, things are really wonky right now. So it's, we really need more of that positivity. I am just like, I'm blown away. That is so amazing. God bless her family.
Yeah, they're wonderful. You know, one of the things, Lisa, you mentioned that, you know, one of the reasons you're writing these books is that hopefully kids will be able to see kids like Jennifer and understand that they're kids and that they have strengths and we can communicate with them. And you were saying that way there'll be less bullying. What I'm hoping for is that when those kids who read Happy Thoughts Going to the Beach when they're 6 and 7 years old, and they become more empathetic at 10, 11, 12. When they become executives and they own their company, they're going to sit down and they're going to say, you know what? We can hire this person. We can figure, we can make accommodations so this person can come here, get the benefits of working, and we get the benefits of getting to know this wonderful person.
I 150% agree with you. And I don't know if it's because of like social media algorithms, but I'm seeing a lot more things come up where businesses are doing that on social media. And it's really heartwarming and gives me so much hope, you know, because here in Jersey, we have Popcorn for the People. And the father that started it was so his son had a place to work. And now I'm starting to see a lot more businesses like that, where they're making it specifically for individuals with autism, for individuals with differences, you know, because that's what it is. It's not difficulties. It's not weaknesses. It's just different. And that's all it is. And I'm starting to see a lot more businesses pop up that are specifically for individuals with those differences. And it's really, really beautiful and incredible to see. And I'm really hoping it's more than the algorithm, that this is a trend that will continue, just like you said, because we need more CEOs that will do that. You know, one of my friends just went to bat for one of his staff with his company to make sure he didn't get let go because of his autism. And he won his proposal. He got him everything. He got him his pay to stay, which is more than most of the other staff there. And I was like, that's pretty amazing. Like, I would not have expected that from him, because, I mean, he's Republican. But, you know, I kind of feel like, you know, he wants to be supportive like that and help, but then he kind of still votes that way. So, you know, it was really nice to see him do that too. So I kind of feel like there's a little bit, hopefully, of a trend going on. So hopefully these things kind of continue.
Well, it's also another great example that we can't judge people by the way they look or by the color, whatever color team they're on, you know? One of the things I love to take this time, one of the place I hope, if you haven't already, there's a website. It's called BeKindToEveryone.com. And I discovered this on social media. It's a young girl. Her name is Jordan. I think she's 21 or 22 years old right now. She's on the autism spectrum and was considered nonverbal or limited verbal ability. And her parents started a T-shirt company for her, and it's really wonderful. There's daily, and I've been, you know, following Jordan. I think I have one of the T-shirts underneath my hoodie here for a couple of years now, and her ability to communicate and speak has jumped 10-12x. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. But the interesting thing is people online say all sorts of mean stuff. You know, they'll say to the mom, you're taking advantage of your daughter to make a profit. Why are you exploiting your daughter to do this T-shirt business? And, you know, there's a video of Jordan. She's folding up the T-shirts to mail out, and she's a little doing it fast, and it's maybe a little wrinkly, and people are like, oh boy, I pity the person who's going to get that wrinkly mess T-shirt. The good thing is that Jordan and her mom turn it around, so now they have a T-shirt like, I'm a wrinkly mess and I'm kind of you, or something like that. It's how did you, I felt my kind of advocacy for folks with disabilities happened to me by accident. I had a job as a lifeguard in a mental health facility. This school was part of that building. When the first time the kids came down to swim in my pool, I was horrified. I was like, what is this? And as somebody who wanted to make a living performing for kids, I felt terrible. And I said, I need to get to know these kids. I need to be able to see these kids as kids. And in doing that, the people at the school got to know me, and they said, look, and we want to hire you. And so that was wonderful. How did you become so passionate about advocating for folks with disabilities?
I kind of fell into it too. I mean, I was So my parents have always done donations. I've done volunteer work since I was 14. It's kind of like ingrained in me. My parents, even a few months ago, they went to the store and bought stuff to donate to a food pantry around here just because, you know. So it's kind of ingrained in me from my family. But when I was 21, 22, I worked in a daycare and we had this little girl with autism. We didn't know she was autistic. So this was kind of my first exposure to anybody with autism. And I'll never forget, one of the staff would call her, "Oh, that's the crazy girl." And I'm just like, what? I would go over and sit with her and talk to her because nobody wanted to play with her. She was limited verbals, making noises. She couldn't do the eye contact. And she was only 5 years old. You know, she was in pre-K, 4 or 5 years old. So I would hang out with her. I would spend time with her. I would get the other kids to play with her. And I ended up babysitting her because I became friends with the family. And then when I researched my master's degree, I fell into applied behavior analysis and it just kind of all connected and fit. You know, if it weren't for the way I was raised, I don't know if I would have been as open to that young girl. And she went on to continue to stay in the daycare, even in their summer programs. My best friend worked there and she's thriving, you know. And then falling into ABA just kind of ignited even more of a passion for me. And I've been writing since I was a kid. I've always wanted to be an author. So one day I got inspired at work and I finally figured out how to combine my passion for psychology with my passion for writing. And my children's books are born and it's kind of blown up into this huge thing ever since.
You mentioned the acronym ABA. Tell everybody what that is, please.
So ABA is Applied Behavior Analysis, where we come in and we do observations and we give resources and techniques for how to decrease negative behaviors like hitting, tantrums, throwing things, cursing, and increasing positive behaviors that you want to see. Because a lot of times the hitting, kicking, throwing things is because they can't communicate. Mm-hmm. So we would come in and when we give strategies for how to engage in a way that would be more appropriate and would help the situation be more positive. So I've worked with adults, I've worked with kids, I worked in early intervention where I worked with kids under 3 that, you know, basically had either cognitive delays or autistic and not diagnosed yet. So we'd work on eye contact, we'd work on increasing speech, being able to imitate. So that's my background. I was doing that for almost 12 years and I left the field in February. I have been teaching as a professor for almost 5 years now and I'm working on switching to the field of school psychology from applied behavior analysis instead.
Very, very cool. So you're hoping to be that school psychologist in a elementary or middle school, high school?
Absolutely. So I just incorporated my business officially, Unstoppable Voices. So what I've been doing some consulting, some trainings on the side all under my business. So I'm hoping to go more the consulting way, not necessarily work like full time in a school district, possibly part time. We have something called ESU here, Education Support Unit, which is very similar to consulting. You get all the same benefits, just not the case management stuff. And from what I've seen already with case management stuff from internship, I think that'd be better for me. And then I can still teach. But, you know, a lot of my stuff in my books is inspiration from my career in applied behavior analysis. And I'm getting lots of ideas from my internship already, which has been really, really fun. You know, so I'm at the tail end of finishing things up, finishing my doctorate and moving from a part of the field, ABA, applied behavior analysis, which was great, but I just never felt like I could fully be myself, be creative, kind of like I live in like a gray area where I kind of like need to be able to change things, make it my own, be creative. And ABA is very much like black and white. So school psychology, I get to kind of do more. So I'm very excited about being able to switch into that. So I've got a lot of experience and just literally fell into it basically because I originally was going for teaching and then I switched to social work and then I got a master's in applied behavior analysis and then I got a second one in school psych. So it's been a really interesting journey. I've had an interesting career.
Very, very cool. You know, getting back to happy thoughts going to the beach, I think there are probably somebody out there thinking to myself, I don't know if I can have the, yeah, that's a cute story, Jed, with the girl, and you think she introduced you and Lisa had the experience. Yeah. But I don't buy it. You know, I just don't buy that. But we're taking care of my daughter's dog this weekend. I know what that dog wants. I know that dog knows what I want. And that's, no one rolls their eyes about that. No one questions. It's like, yeah, well, of course you guys get this.
Exactly.
Why can't we just have that same attitude? Like, yeah, the person's different, but we can figure out a way to communicate.
I think part of the issue is, as human beings, we don't like change. You know, if we have to change something, that's scary. We like living where we understand things. We like living where things are simple and easy. When it becomes hard and it's hard to understand and you have to kind of change and adapt, that's where we shy away because we don't like it. You know, that's just kind of how I feel like humankind really is. You know, and it's been kind of like a long road. If you look back at history, how things like evolved, there's always been pushback. There's always every little thing, every kind of piece of technology we have, cars, you know, TVs, homes, there's always been pushback for everything. And then we finally accept it. And I feel like that's what's going on with autism or any kind of like disorder, you know, any kind of even mental health disorder. And I think part of the problem too is we don't put enough information out there. If you look at social media, and I've been very open with a lot of people saying that I had to delete my threads because it just got so toxic. But if you look at social media, the way the algorithms are, they put out negative things. They don't always, I was talking to somebody over the weekend that said they had to like change their settings on their Instagram to show them only certain things. I don't know how to do that, but apparently you can do that. And I think that's part of the problem too, is that, you know, we're so focused on what we see and we believe everything we see. And it's just, that's not what we should do. We should be questioning things. Mm-hmm. We should be open. We should really be like, okay, you know, I want to know more. And us as a humankind and human species, we're not very good with stuff like that, you know, on top of putting out things that are negative, and we just don't want to see that positive. We're like, okay, if it's out there on CNN, it must be true. Not even close. You know, there's so much garbage going on right now when it comes to, you know, what's out there about autism, all the stuff with the education department and everything. It's just, it's insane to me, to be honest, you know, that we still live in the dark ages and still believe that garbage about autism. And it's really setting us back as a humankind so ridiculously far. And it's so hard to watch. But we need to, and that's why I wrote the books too, because we need positivity out there. These are literally based off my experience. Like you said, you brought them everywhere. I did too when I worked with adults. And when I worked with kids, we went and did stuff. So each of these books, Endless Talk, are a different experience to show families they can do it too. And yeah, you can see in here, she has no stranger danger or like fear when it comes to the ocean. Her mom has to chase after her and stop her. But that's part of being a parent. And I think people don't realize how much work goes into being a parent, period. You know, and just because your child has autism, you're parenting in a different way. And to me, it's like, what is the big deal? And to most people, it's like, ugh, I don't want to do it. And I think that's one of the biggest things, is that we as a human species want things to be easy. And that's not life.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. Well, let's make things a little bit easier for people and tell them where they can go to find out more about Happy Thoughts Going to the Beach and find out more about you, because you have lots of books out there.
I do. Number 13 is in the works. I got that cover. My God, I'm so excited about that. It's a very different book. I'll talk about it in a second. But you can find me on social media. My Instagram is Diverse Inc. Books. I'm not going to be rebranding my social media just because I have so much out there with the names already. So my business is under in like my summary stuff on my social media. My website is there, which is a really long thing. But I will be redoing my website in the new year.
Okay.
So my TikTok is Lisa J Author, J-A-Y-18. My Facebook is Books by Lisa Jakofsky. And you can also email me, lisa@lisajay.net. Or you can put my name into Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and all my books will come up.
We've had a wonderful time speaking to the author of Happy Thoughts, Going to the Beach. It's the new picture book from our guest, Lisa Jakofsky. Hey, Lisa, thanks for being back on Reading with Your Kids.
Thank you so much, Jed Lee. It is always a pleasure, and I hope to see you at a conference in person in the new year, too.
Hey, my friends, I have a super idea you are going to love. How about this weekend, turn your backyard cookout into a storybook celebration? Fire up the grill, crack open a few of your favorite picture books, and serve up Big Fork Brand's legendary bacon sausage. Made with nitrate-free bacon and premium pork, it's juicy, smoky, and unforgettable. Top it off with Big Fork's spicy Chicago Fire sauce, and you've got a meal as bold as the characters in your favorite bedtime tale. Get 20% off your order using the promo code READ at BigForkBrands.com. That's BigForkBrands.com. Promo code READ to get 20% off, because nothing brings families together like great food, great books, and a whole lot of flavor. Big Fork Brands. Read, grill, repeat. Hey, my friends, you know one of my favorite parts of the day is story time. There's just something magical about snuggling up with your kids, opening a great book, and escaping into an adventure together. And let me tell you, that moment becomes even more magical when you're curled up in the softest, coziest bedding you've ever felt. That's why I'm so excited that CozyEarth.com is supporting Reading with Your Kids. Their bamboo sheets, comforters, and pajamas are unbelievably soft, naturally breathable, and temperature regulating, which means no more sweaty nights or chilly toes. Right now, Cozy Earth is offering Reading with Your Kids listeners an unbelievable and exclusive 41% off their entire site. That's right, you heard me right, 41% off. So go ahead, create your own cozy reading nook, wrap yourself and your kids up in something comfy, grab your favorite bedtime book, and turn story time into the best part of your day. Head on over to CozyEarth.com and use the promo code READ at checkout to save 41%. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code READ. We are in for a great time. This interview is going to warm your heart because our guest is very, very cold where she is. Coming to us from the great state of Minnesota, our guest is here to celebrate her new picture book. It's called The Great Escape. Please welcome to the show, Deborah Marcero. Deborah, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk about this book.
I am too. You know, I remember seeing the movie with Steve McQueen on the motorcycle jumping over that fence. We're talking about something else, right?
This is something else, something else. Actually, after I finished all of the art for this book, I watched the movie because I knew about it. I just had never seen it. And of course, the title is the title.
Yeah. Well, tell us about this new great escape that families are going to love reading and experiencing together.
Yeah, so The Great Escape is a fantasy portal story, but it's basically an older sister, Evie, is on the quest for some alone time and some kind of quiet away from her noisy three younger little siblings. And she can't escape inside. She can't escape outside. She goes out into the snow and she performs some magic. And she escapes into a fantasy portal where in trying to get away from her siblings, they end up working together and coming together in kind of an unexpected way.
Wow. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, I hope it's a lot of fun. I think it's a lot of fun.
You know, that trying to find alone time. Well, I think every older sibling can relate to that.
I think so. I have many younger siblings. I'm one of six siblings, the oldest girl and the second oldest. And there's just such a precious dynamic between siblings. And of course, my firsthand experiences being the oldest and the oldest girl and one of the older kind of caretaker kind of roles. And I was kind of always protecting them, but also wanting to try to get that little bit of time away. And a lot of that for me was drawing, writing, reading in my imagination. So it kind of connects to kind of what the drawings and what the story kind of evolves to in The Great Escape.
Yeah, yeah. Were you thinking of your younger siblings as you were creating this book?
Oh, definitely. 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 Some of their personalities are merged. There's a playfulness in the spirit of the three that kind of captures the energy that was in my family. I have four brothers, so a lot of larger kind of like fighting, wrestling energy around me when I might be trying to do something a little more quiet or kind of trying to concentrate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Tell me what, as an author illustrator, I'm always fascinated by author and creators' creative process. And as somebody who has zero visual art ability, I'm curious, what comes first for you? Is it the images? Is it the art? Or is it the story?
Yeah, it's a little different for each project. For this particular book, I was kind of on the cusp of coming off of the Jar series. So the In a Jar, Out of a Jar, and Hope in a Jar, which features a little bunny protagonist. And kind of coming off of that, I wondered what would my next book be? And I was kind of struggling to kind of land on a certain protagonist or a struggle. And so I gave myself an assignment. I wanted to create a kind of a fantasy or a fairy tale with a female protagonist that wasn't pushing against anything. She was just showing agency. She was showing self-motivation and drive and creativity and kind of generating a sense of wonder and empowerment within her. And so that's where the seed of this story started. It started with an assignment for me, just a creative assignment. And then I just, in questioning that, I went to my childhood directly. And then when I was exploring my childhood, I was thinking about the relationships with my siblings and how frustrated I would get with them or annoyed or kind of bothered. But then out in school or on the playground, or somebody would be picking on them or say something mean about them, I would be their fiercest protector. And that dynamic of just I'm just exactly who I am in the family. And there's this dynamic of feeling just everything that you are feeling, whether it's frustration or protectiveness, and that just kind of equals this sincere love that kind of bridges into, I mean, it bridged into high school and adulthood for me. Just that bond, even though we're nowhere near each other now in location, but that bond is just fused and permanent.
You know, it's interesting as you were talking about your relationship with your siblings. It sounds just like my kids, my son and my daughter, and I very, very different people, not a whole lot in common. I remember one. I had lunch duty. I was the lunch parent out at recess, and I was watching, and there was this big kind of bully, and I knew he was bothering my son, but I'm trying to see if my son can kind of deal with it. And his little sister, my daughter, came up and stuck her face right in that bully's, you know, just like, don't you take it, you better get away. And he walked away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, cool.
And you just got to watch that. Yeah.
I just got to watch it. Yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah.
And I don't think my daughter was thinking, well, my dad's here. He'll take care. She's just that kind of person, like, nah, I can yell at him, but no one else can.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Do a lot of your work that start with an assignment?
No, this was kind of the first one. I think I will use it in the future for sure. It kind of gets me out of my kind of head, but then I always come back and circle back to something that's really kind of integral to who I am or something, you know, it just kind of shines a light on something that I might not have deliberately shined it on. Because stories, I think, change the world. And so how do I want to change the world with my little sweet story about magic or, you know, whatever the topic might be.
When you gave yourself the assignment and based on what you were just talking about, changing the world, were you thinking, I want to create a story that's going to empower girls and inspire girls to be more assertive?
Yes. Yeah. Or take agency in whatever it is they're confronting, to show that it's just there for them to create and believe in. I was definitely, that was like an undertone of the whole, it's a powerful kind of, you know, I never want my stories to be didactic. I want them to be a genuine adventure and, a sincere, you know, character arc and a story kind of that entertains and somewhat you feel surprised by, at different points, but it was definitely, I was reading, about how fairy tales and the genre of fairy tales over time have kind of pitted women against each other or have, kind of modeled this kind of, the character has to push against something and, not necessarily to an end where she has freedom to really come into her own self. And so I wanted to try to just show that through this little sweet little story of a snowy evening.
Yeah. It sounds like you're very aware that, at least in the back of your mind, as you're creating these stories, you understand that I want to entertain the kids, but I also have a responsibility. I mean, the family is spending time, valuable time with me, and I want to give them a little bit more than just a giggle.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, they're always my favorite stories are one that's that kind of make you laugh or smile, but also kind of tug at the heart or make you think about something a little bit differently or see the world a little bit differently.
Yeah. I remember doing a magic show at a school in, I think it was in Connecticut, and the art teacher afterwards came up to me and it was a story about making a show encouraging kids to make healthy choices. And the art teacher came up and he said, don't you wish you could just go out and do your art and just do your show and not have to worry about giving kids a message? And I'm like, no, you know, I have this, the kids' attention. I want them to get, you know, a little bit more. If they can learn and have fun, cool, double win.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think, you know, again, but without, you know, just kind of having come away from the experience, I think when I came into this work, I had a mission and the mission was to sneak art and poetry into the hands of children and to the adults who are reading to them. Mm-hmm. So if I get, you know, and I studied fine art, I studied poetry. So the way that I think about language or the way that I think about my lines or color or value or emotion coming through those lines of words or coming through those lines in the art, if that can kind of touch someone else's heart, then I've done the work that I feel, you know, most fulfilled to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that. It sounds like you're very intentional as you're creating.
Yes. Yeah. I am very, I've always had that. I've always been kind of intentional and, in coming to this work, it's something that I feel like it was a long journey to come into doing this as a living. But it started when I would play alone by myself when I was 5, 6, 7, 8. I would pick up a pencil and some paper and draw and write and color. And so it's just, it feels, I wish I could whisper to my 5-year-old self, like, guess what you get to do when you grow up?
I'm curious, when you were that 5-year-old, it sounds like you had no idea that this could be a living. You were just kind of entertaining yourself and doodling.
Yeah, it was play. It was what I would reach to do in my spare time, like summer vacations, or we would have drawing contests as little kids and my mom would play. It was what I would grab. It was just always a desire, wow, to do. And I didn't really know, that I could or would be, you know, I went to art school at the urging of my parents because they saw it in me. They said, you're going to art school. You know that, right? And I said, am I? Can I? Like when I was a junior in high school, because, you know, they were just like, of course, what else would you do? Because I had been doing it all along. And it took me a while to believe that that's what I could actually do. And then it became the quest of my life. How do I become an artist, and what kind of artist do I want to be, and how do I support myself? And
that is the first time I've heard of parents encouraging their soon to be professional artist child. There was one that was cute. It was an Italian illustrator, and she was she wasn't fluent in English, and she's very nervous until I asked her how her parents encouraged her. And then she just, you know, brightened up, and she said, they painted the rooms, the walls in my room white. And they told me I could do anything. And they let me paint and color and pencil and all that on the walls. And it was wonderful. You have the unique parents who didn't say, yeah, but you gotta have a plan when the art stuff doesn't work out.
Yeah. I think they saw that I have this pragmatic side to me too, you know, the intentional, like they never had to worry about me with the deadlines or, you know, getting things done on time or anything. It was just, yeah. So they didn't ever approach it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Mentioning your pragmatic side as an artist, you kind of, it sounds like you understand that, yeah, this is play and this is fun and I'm creative, but it's also a business. I got to get things done.
Oh yeah, it's a business. It's a full-on business. I'm like the CEO, CFO, COO, creative director. I'm all the things. I'm very scheduled. I'm in the studio, which is a separate building on our property. So I can close the door and I'm at work, and I usually get here by 8 in the morning, and I'm here till 5:30 in the evening with, you know, maybe a walk break, lunch break, you know, but and I'm often in here on the weekends, tending to like extraneous things, or if I'm working on a new proposal for a book, no one's going to do that except me. Mm-hmm. So it's all on me, and I'm driven and, motivated.
Well, I think it's super important because I think a lot of people in the arts, they're like, oh, I'm an artist. I can't bother with marketing and the business. I don't want it. Oh, no. And a mentor of mine sat me down and he said, Jedley, you're looking to get in the show business. Show business is two words, show and business. And if business is the bigger of the two, and if you don't take care of business, there ain't going to be a show.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. And I wish that when I went to art school, we got business classes with it. You know, a lot of that was kind of self-taught afterwards, like, how do I do this? What do I do, you know, in terms of like actually creating, the business side and helping that succeed.
Yeah. Yeah. So important. My daughter has a degree in music business. And jumped into the industry, and anytime she's working with a young artist, she always tells them, you got to take a business class. Mm-hmm. No, I'm taking guitar, I'm taking this, and take a business class. Otherwise, you're going to get taken advantage of.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I think it should be part of the core curriculum. I really do.
Yeah. So what assignment have you given yourself for your next project?
Well, so my next assignment is I have this project that is one of the very first projects that I had an idea for, and I'm not going to share it because it's too precious. But it was from 2013, and it was actually like an early middle grade project, but I had created this world, this very unique world and these characters. And I want to make that into a picture book.
Ooh.
Because we never sold it. It didn't quite work as a middle grade or an early middle grade. But I love the characters in the world so much I just saw, you know, Peter Brown with Wild Robot. He took that middle grade book or concept and was able to create a beautiful picture book out of that project. And I think it feels like the unique challenge on my table right now to take that early seed of an idea that never sold or became a contract. And, but I love those characters are with me. They're watching me. They're around, you know,
they want to hit the page.
They want to hit the page.
Yeah, awesome. That really is cool. And my first thought, as you're talking about, well, taking this middle grade concept, I'm like, middle grade stories, 10,000 words more, and you're going to tell it in 500 words. But I guess with the illustrations, there's a lot less need for words.
Yeah. And the story will definitely be different. It will change. Like the character arc will be different. But I think a lot of what I love about being an author illustrator is looking at the sketch and realizing how many words I can cut out of the manuscript when that happens, because there's so much magic happening in the storytelling visually.
Yeah. I love it. We should tell everybody where they can go to find out more about The Great Escape, the In the Jar series, and everything else that's coming from your mind.
Yeah, so you can find out more at my website, deborahmarcero.com, and Penguin Young Readers. Putnam is my imprint, and they have all my books online on their website as well.
We've had a great time speaking to the author and illustrator of The Great Escape. It's a brand new picture book from our guest, Deborah Marcero. Hey, Deborah, thanks for being on Reading with Your Kids.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Reading with Your Kids and will join us for the next exciting episode of the show. Hey, if this episode made you smile or gave you something to think about, please share the link to the show with someone you love. And also, please consider leaving a 5-star review wherever you find your favorite shows. And also, we'd love for you to subscribe to the show. Hey, we'd also love for you to connect with us on social media, facebook.com/readingwithyourkids, @readingwithyourkids on Instagram, @JetLeeMagic on X, our YouTube channel, youtube.com/readingwithyourkids. We'd love for you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Even if you listen to the show somewhere else, it really helps us if you would subscribe on YouTube. Hey, I want to thank the folks who made today's show so wonderful, starting with our guest, Lisa Jakovsky. Please be sure to check out Happy Thoughts Going to the Beach. Also want to thank Deborah Marcero. Please be sure to check out The Great Escape. I want to thank my team, Fatima Khan, Chris Daugherty. I want to thank my beautiful wife for all the support she gives me. And boy, oh boy, does she ever give me oh so much support. Most of all, we want to thank you. You are incredible. You're working hard every day to pay the bills, to give your children the best life and the best you can share with them in life. Don't forget that you're making their life so much more wonderful. And you're making the world a better place every time you read with your kids. I'll be looking for you in the next episode of Reading with Your Kids. Woke up today with a question in my head.
high above my bed. Can I make one here without a sky so far? Let's do a little science, make a cloud in a jar. Guitar. Mom said, wow, Dad gave me a cheer. My pup just barked and fogged up the mirror. It's not just smoke, it's vapor in disguise. Condensation's cool, it forms. Right before your nose. Who needs a textbook when the kitchen glows?